Okay, so what happens with this center where she took all her money and put it together for these people, for these children? Here they are mentored as by volunteers, taught computer and job finding skills, tutored in math and English, taught conflict resolution and basic life skills. Last year at home had 2,000 members, all former or potential gang bangers. Constance could have cried about her life if she wanted to, but she decided to lay out a banquet instead. Beautiful. As Spiritineers, we have each been given incredible gifts, and Jesus did the same, by the way. He didn't cry. He laid out an incredible banquet. As Spiritineers, we each have been given incredible gifts. If we have lived at all, we've also endured pain. Sometimes when we are about to have the greatest breakthrough, we find ourselves on the verge of breakdown. When I realized the enormity of the gap between where I was as an advertising agency owner and where I wanted to be as a free-form Spiritineer, I went home to be with my mother. Usually we take walks holding hands and then pull up a chair on the back porch, sip a glass of iced tea, and philosophize for hours. This time, however, I get off the plane, saw her face, and began to cry. I always tear up when I first see my mother, but this time I couldn't stop crying. In fact, I cried for 3 solid days. I cried as I went into the utility room to get out the measuring tape. I cried as I walked out to the backyard, stepping off the space between the chinaberry tree and the cottonwood tree to see if there would be room for me to park a mobile home there. I was almost certain that my newfound path in the forest was going to take me through the woods of bankruptcy, and I at least wanted to know that I'd have a place to live. Oh, boy. Mom said, "Honey, what are you doing?" I just shook my head and kept measuring. Finally, as the Easter weekend drew to a close, Mom said, "Lori, you have to go back now." Ouch. "You have to go back now." I shook my head and began to cry again. I really enjoy Lori. She's a neat lady. "Honey, you have 2 business partners and 5 employees who are depending on you for leadership." At this point, I began to wail. "I can't face them. I can't face them. Mom, I'm going to have to tell you all of them. I'm going to have to tell them all goodbye." She shook her head and then stood up, extending her hand. "If that's what you have to do, God will give you the strength to do it. Now, come on. It's time for you to go catch your plane." Oh, boy. I wept as I walked down that long, long aisle to the airplane because the party I had created up until now was about to be over. You, too, may find yourself crying at your own party. Not because someone has rejected you, but because you now have to say, "This party is over and a new one is about to begin." Life as a Spiritineer isn't easy. Jesus knew he could cry if he wanted to. She's a neat author, and I've relied on her so many times for a little encouragement. I want to say something about Joel Osteen. None of us are perfect, but I have to tell you that when Ezekiel and I were in a place where we just wanted to give up, we didn't know what to do with our lives. We weren't accepted in this area, and we'd never really been accepted. I mean, we would be accepted for a short time, but then things would get intense and turn sour, and we'd have to move on. Or the Lord would move us on. That happened more often than not. But Joel Osteen really has a gift for gratefulness. And gratefulness is the thing that opens the door to God's blessings so many times. And so many of us grumble and are ungrateful and are discouraged and are just down and out. And Joel's real upfront about self-pity. He talks about self-pity, and I'm not showing you one of his books because I don't have one of his books, but we watched him on YouTube, two or three of them every night, just before I launched this channel. So you can see the impact Joel has had on my life. So we don't agree necessarily. I don't agree with everything he says. Who do we agree with all the time? But I do agree with his ability to pick us up out of self-pity and dust us off and say, all right, get busy for the Lord. I do agree with that. And he makes no bones about it. He's very straightforward. And yet he can be funny also. And I think if you're down and out and you don't know what to do next and you're feeling bad about things that have happened, he's a good person to watch on YouTube for a while to lift your spirits and to get your head turned around straight. Because Satan wants you to go down the hole, and Joel is trying to lift you out of the hole to get a look at God and what God can do if you have faith and stand up and do what's right. So I wanted to mention Joel Osteen to you, even though I don't have any of his books. And I was thinking, I should probably show you my card file. Okay, these go back, these giant things, my trophies. These are my trophies and my scars. This goes, I have five of these. I could only carry two, one for each hand. But I have five of these. And this goes back for years and years and years and years. Let's see what card I pull. So I pulled a card, one of the pretty ones that has a drawing on it. Okay. The huge, unyielding rock that shelters the soul from all storms is the divine will of God. Deep within those shadows is the hand of God to support and carry us to complete self-abandonment, and I might add, self-fulfillment. I don't know if I can hold it still enough for you to see it. There's a mountain, and at the bottom is the Lord teaching a soul. And that was a reading I got. I don't know what book I took it from, but it definitely spoke to my heart at the time. The will of God, that's the shelter. The huge, unyielding rock that shelters the soul from all storms is the divine will. Amen. If you know you're in the Lord's will, even if you get martyred, it's not going to make any difference. You know that it's going to turn out well. But if you do something without knowing that it's God's will, you're going to be scared and looking around you to try and defend yourself, because God's not defending you. You've stepped out of his will and going and doing your own thing. So yeah, you'll have fears then, but if you are in his will, you don't have to have fear. So that's a good reading. And I usually pick three cards. So let's see what this one says. Thank you. The Spirit of the Lord is upon you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. I appreciate that. I can feel it. I knew he wanted this done, guys. I knew he wanted it done, and there were a lot of things that came up against it, not the least of which was my vanity. Be honest about that. And here I'll pull one from the other card file. Well, two came up. And when two come up, I usually read them both. Okay. The Lord... There it is there. The Lord always sets his hand to a task when he removes all human means and orders us to do a thing that exceeds our strength. Yeah, thank God. The Lord always sets his hand to a task when he removes all human means and orders us to do something that exceeds our strength. Or, in my favorite saying, if you can't swim, he'll always throw you into hot water over your head. So, yeah, that's very true. Let's see what else we have here, because I pulled two. And this one, Ezekiel had colored, very colorful. He loves to color things. Holy Spirit prayer. So I guess I need to be praying in tongues today. Holy Spirit prayer, and that's what I'll do. I love you, heart dwellers. You're my favorite people in the whole world, and I pray for you. I thank you for your prayers and your support, and I highly encourage you to get these books if anyone stands out to you. And as I said, if you don't have the money, don't worry about it. Just write to me, and we'll get it for you. I guess I should mention in closing our two books, although we've got a lot of them out, but When God Heals and When He Doesn't. And I'm using this book for Rhema's, and it helps quite a bit. I love this illustration. By the way, she's a Catholic artist that went to be with the Lord. And Carol put a picture on the back I don't like. She put that picture back there, and I think, I look so ugly in that. I look like a horse's face or something. So I'm making her change it. Isn't that terrible? But When God Heals and When He Doesn't, and is full of Rhema's. I mean, just so full of Rhema's. I just opened to this. Forgive me for the wicked life I have led. Forgive me for what I have done to others. Help me forgive what they have done to me. Come into my heart, Jesus. Take over this mess I call my life. I surrender to you. And that started with, all you need to do to turn into my loving arms is say, yes, Lord. Today I give you my life such as it is. Today I surrender my soul to you. Come into my heart, Jesus. Take over this mess I call my life. I surrender to you. Say this, my child, from the heart, and I will embrace you and bring you into the glorious new future. Yes, I make this promise to you. Give me your life, and I will give you my hope. The scales of blindness, the knives of bitterness still in your heart, I will remove. I will heal these wounds and set you on high above your enemies. You will conquer and overcome the devils of the past, and their terror will terrify no more. Come, place your hand in mine. Come, you are mine now. Let us together walk out of this prison of the past and into the glorious light of a new day. Come. And that's in When God Heals. That's beautiful. And I think that's a very fitting altar call for those of you who don't know the Lord. Just go back and say those prayers, and He will receive you with open and joyful arms. And the last book that we had was Rhema. Here we go. Rhema. And this is also another wonderful book for getting a word from the Lord. And I just opened to intimacy with Jesus, which is what we teach. You know, it's what we teach. By the way, this last book, When God Heals and When He Doesn't, that one has come out already, but we're working on another one on discernment. All the things I've learned in all the years that I've done foolish things, and the Lord has taught me. So we're coming out with a book on discernment after this. But I opened intimacy with Jesus. So now history repeats itself, and those with a controlling religious spirit have found their way into every denomination, and their lust for control. The entire game plan from the enemy is to make men feel so guilty for their sins they withdraw from me or refuse to even approach me. How common is it that you have seen and heard people say, I'm not good enough for God. When I get good enough for God, I'll turn to Him. And of course, that never happens. The religious spirit is a vehicle to do that. What I have taught you goes against the grain, and so you are hated. That I would treat you as my bride, with whom my heart is intimately entwined, and that I feel that way about all my people is abhorrent to them. That I can live through you is still the most frightening aspect of true faith. God can live through men, and the devils cannot stop him. That's right. That's the bottom line. Although the scripture, all through the scripture, the espousal relationship is proclaimed. I betrothed you to one husband, Paul said, to present you as a pure virgin to Christ. That's 2 Corinthians. And I will betroth you to me forever. I will betroth you to me in righteousness and in justice, in steadfast love and in mercy. Hosea 2:19. As the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall your God rejoice over you. Isaiah 62:5. That is another reason that the demons toy with discernment and make the sincere believer seeking intimacy with me frightened of falling into error. Yet if a soul's heart is set on me, I will guide and lead them ultimately through every deception and impediment. If you trust totally in me, knowing that I will accomplish my will in your life, you will not abandon the path of intimacy when your discernment fails. Rather, you will humble yourself and draw ever nearer. And that is so true. And he says more about that in here. This is Jesus speaking to me. That is so true. I think the number one reason why people fail in discernment and why they give up the gifts like prophecy and word of knowledge is a fear of failure. Fear of deception. And the devil uses that against them. But we can't be afraid of anything. We have to keep going. And, you know, I'm guilty of, I pray for people and sometimes they get healed and sometimes they don't. And I hear words and I don't always speak them. And it's out of fear. You know, it's something I need to change. In fact, you can pray for me that I'll do that, because when people write to me, I would like to give them an answer from God. Not my own answer, but I'm a little insecure in doing that, especially if something touches my heart in a familiar way. I'm afraid of a bias, you know, one way or the other. So the Lord bless you, dear heart dwellers, and thank you for tuning in. You are so loved. You have no idea. God bless you.